Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types, antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I have any thoughts on the treatment for narcissism exposure. So this is a situation where somebody's exposed to someone who's behaving narcissistically. And there are a number of contexts for this exposure, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So all over YouTube, we see a number of videos, and I have several on my channel as well, looking at how to spot narcissism, how to detect a narcissist, how to recognize narcissistic behavior. And I think these videos certainly have their place. In the right circumstances, they can be helpful. But after somebody was exposed to a narcissist, particularly if it was over a long period of time, there's a lot of opportunity there for damage to accumulate. So what do mental health professionals do to help people recover? So beyond detecting, identifying narcissism, how do we treat the person who is exposed to the narcissist? Well, the answer to this question, of course, depends on the outcome of the narcissistic exposure. And there are a lot of different outcomes and, of course, many combinations as well. So we see depression, anxiety, having difficulty trusting people. That's a fairly common one. Feeling ashamed, being angry. In addition to alleviating symptoms like these, clients also have different goals based on their situation. Do they need help avoiding a narcissist, negotiating with a narcissist, like trying to make a relationship work? Or are they recovering from the painful memories and other consequences of that relationship? Clients may also be trying to find new purpose in their lives, right? So often relationships are a major focus in terms of purpose. We think of ourselves, we identify ourselves sometimes based on relationships that we have. And when we realize that we're in a relationship that was one-sided, that's a devastating discovery. So here in terms of treatment, I'm going to focus on a situation where somebody was in a relationship with a narcissist. I'll assume it was a close relationship, like a close friend, sibling, parent, romantic partner, something like that. And the relationship is over and the person is trying to make sense of everything that happened to get back on track with their life. What I see so many times in these situations would be people who are understandably angry at the narcissist, but really even angry at society for tolerating narcissism, confused as to why society doesn't take narcissism seriously. There's this sense that societal norms have not been adjusted to deal with the destructive force of narcissism. Additionally, I've seen people who are upset because they lost so much time and they lost so many opportunities. And this is what I'm going to be focusing on. I'll be focusing on what I call the wrong turn theory of narcissistic harm. This theory can also apply to more than just dealing with narcissism. I've actually seen it apply to a number of situations. So what is a wrong turn, as I use it here? A wrong turn is based on the idea that there is a correct path that somebody can take in their life. I think this is actually a fairly common way that people conceptualize their existence as human beings and as members of a larger society. For example, most people plan to live for a certain period of time. They want to make and maintain friendships. They want to pursue an educational path and eventually a career. A lot of people have a specific career goal. And they want to form a romantic relationship and maybe even have a family. This isn't for everybody, but again, it's a fairly common set of goals. Every turn in the road moves somebody closer to their goal and maybe even to a point where they're exceeding their goal, or it moves them further away from their goal. In people's memories and in the narrative of their lives, they remember these wrong turns and right turns, bad times and good times, a time when something didn't go quite right, it was unexpected and negative, and a time where something went according to plan. A relationship with a narcissist is often considered a wrong turn. And the word wrong here, as I use it in this context, doesn't really connote blame, either on the narcissist or on the person in the relationship with the narcissist. Rather, wrong is in not what the person wanted, not going in the intended direction. When somebody's in a relationship with the narcissist, they believe they're going the right way, and they believe they've made a right turn. right in the sense of correct, consistent with the plan. And because of the nature of narcissism, this is actually a fairly common occurrence. Narcissists are manipulative. They want people to believe that the relationship is positive and will improve over time. They want the victim to believe that the relationship is going in the right direction. Now, I like this analogy between what happens in these relationships and driving. I remember I used to travel a lot for consulting work. I still travel once in a while for it. And a lot of this time I spent traveling was before the days of like GPS or anything like that. We just used maps. It was like a book of maps. And you would just pull over and look at the map and try to figure things out. And a lot of times you would have these really cryptic directions for the place that you were going. Like turn left at the supermarket, go three lights and make a right. Past the old factory on the left, you'll see this little blue sign with white letters. That's where we are, right? So that's pretty much all you get. Plus, of course, the address and the map. So you start driving and you see what looks like a supermarket, but it's kind of small for a supermarket. And you think, okay, I'll give it a try. So you make that turn. And then you're counting the lights, right? Three lights for your next turn. And then you see a traffic signal. It looks kind of new. And you think to yourself, did they know that signal was new when they gave me those directions? Or are they using the same directions they've been using for the last 30 years? Then you see what looks like a factory, but it could also be a warehouse. And it doesn't really look old, but some people could think it looks old. So again, a little confusing. And then you finally find the place that's supposed to be indicated by this little blue sign with white letters. And the sign looks more like a dark green. So that's kind of how these trips would go. But again, in this example, I would still have found the right place. So for some of the time on a trip like that, you feel like you've made a wrong turn, but then you see another landmark, even if it's not perfectly clear what the landmark is. And you think, okay, I believe I'm still on the right path. But if you do make a wrong turn and you don't see another landmark, you become increasingly nervous, increasingly aware that something's not right. And when you're driving in the wrong direction, you're covering more ground than you would if you're going in the right direction. At least it always feels that way. When I'm driving and going in the wrong direction, it feels like the car is going twice as fast when I'm really driving half the speed that I was before I made the wrong turn. There's something very disconcerting about driving in the wrong direction. So this really highlights the problem with narcissistic relationships. They make you think you're seeing another landmark, but you know the landmark's not quite right. It doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like, but it's close enough, and you believe it is, in fact, indicating you're moving the right direction. So the narcissist tries to convince you you're still on the right path, but your intuition is telling you otherwise. And eventually, you get a clear sign, like crossing into another state or entering into another city, something you really can't deny. You finally realize you made a wrong turn, but now that wrong turn was a long time ago, and a lot of distance has been covered. So this is really the key problem. A person never realizes they made a wrong turn until they are far down the wrong road.
Hi there, I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.
Welcome to the Bravery Academy. My name is Emma Ferris and I'm your host. This podcast is crafted to share the stories of courageous individuals who have overcome adversity and found the courage to live their best lives. We'll explore the science of well-being, courage and connection, and interview top thought leaders, game changers and survivors. It is from these stories that we learn what resilience is, how to heal, how to recover, and how to be brave.
So with this wrong turn, this point in time where somebody started the relationship with a narcissist, everything past this point is to some degree problematic, off course. Everything past this point is a waste of time. It's costing the person another opportunity, moving them further from the desired path. So it's more than the pain of the relationship with the narcissist. It's the pain of thinking about what could have been, the pain of loss. So in a sense, when somebody's thinking about narcissism exposure, they're grieving for the life they could have had, or arguably should have had. They're angry at the narcissist for taking them off the correct path. The longer they drove down that wrong road with the narcissist, the more distant their goals become. See, they're now further away from that intended path until they reach a point of no return, until they reach a point where there's no way to get back to the path they wanted to be on. So what can be done about this? How do we treat this as counselors? Well, there are a few items here to consider. If someone hadn't entered the relationship with the narcissist, would they definitely have been on the right path? At an intersection, there's often more than one possible wrong turn. Just because you avoid one wrong turn doesn't mean you're not going to make another wrong turn. So I guess what I'm saying here is there's no way to know for sure that you ever could have been on the path that you intended, regardless of what relationships you had or didn't have. Also, and I know this can be hard to imagine, but if somebody had not entered into the relationship with one narcissist, they may be in a relationship with another. There's always a worse wrong turn. I see this a lot of time after somebody divorces, gets remarried, and then divorces again. They just couldn't believe that anything could be worse than that first marriage until they experienced that second marriage. Of course, that's not the case for every person who gets remarried, just something I've seen. So to give an example I've seen many times here, I'll use an example here of a woman upset because she wanted to have a positive relationship with a man, but she chose to be with a narcissist. There was another man that she could have chosen. He was interested in her, but again, she chose the narcissist. That was her wrong turn. At least she believes that. So I may say something like, well, where is that man now? The relationship that would have been the right turn. And much of the time I hear something like, well, I assume he got married. He has a lot of money, a good job. He's successful, a big house, probably has a number of children. I'm sure he's perfectly happy. So the woman looks up the man on social media or something like that and finds out that he spent the last 5 years in prison, which is typically not consistent with success, right? Or the original plan someone has for their life. I'm not sure I've ever seen going to prison as a goal. I've seen the goal of getting out of prison before. I've seen that in clinical settings, but going to prison is usually something that's definitely not part of anybody's plan. Now, it doesn't mean the guy was a narcissist, but it probably means the relationship would not have worked out as that woman intended. The truth is, we never know how things could have worked out if we had went down a different road. All we can do is speculate, seeing only the bad about the choice we made and seeing only the good associated with other possibilities. Although that relationship with the narcissist was painful, something can be learned from any relationship. I've noticed this, and this is often overlooked. Being victimized by a narcissist gives somebody a perspective that others don't have, a perspective that could be used to help people, to avoid danger in the future, or both. Another thing I've realized, sometimes there are no right turns. Sometimes you are simply at the wrong intersection, in the wrong car, the car is broken down, you're not driving the car. Sometimes there is no way to get to the desired path. Dealing with losses is so challenging because in most cases, there is really no way to set the loss right. There's no way to undo the loss, to turn the loss into a gain, at least not the gain that was featured in the original plan. There's only a way to make the best of what we have right now. So in a sense, some of the treatment that counselors deliver involves rewriting the narrative, focusing on what was learned, focusing on what can be done with that knowledge, and failing to invest energy in something that cannot be changed. To be sure, for many, initially, at least in counseling, this is a very unsatisfying answer. Acceptance and moving forward from this point in time, as opposed to trying to somehow go back in time and move forward from then. There is a definitive cost to a wrong turn, regardless of whose fault it was. But there's also an opportunity in a wrong turn that, again, often gets overlooked.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevets, Learn more at arslonga.media.
Science, science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.